Praise the Lord. Okay. In some few moments, let me also talk to you. Can I talk to you a little bit? I want to prophesy. Eh? I should go ahead. Praise the Lord. Let's open one scripture. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 16. And all of us, we shall read it together. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 16. Are we there? Can we stand up and let's pick it as a text? Thank you very much. It's a tradition in some of the end-time churches. Just to honor the word and to let you prepare for something serious so that nothing distracts you. Everybody, Proverbs 21 verse 16, shall we go? The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And the church will say, amen. God bless you, be seated. So I want to give you understanding. And you will not walk out of that way so that you will not remain in the congregation of the dead. For the Bible calls us lively stones. We are lively stones. Amen. We are not dead stones. Proverbs chapter 3 has an admonishment. Can we read it? Proverbs chapter 3 and from verse 1. Okay, if you are there with me, chapter 3. It said, my son. Forget not my law. I'm reading it up to verse 8. But let thy heart keep my commandments. When you do that, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. How many people want long life? Oh my. Amen. You see, people in the world, if you go to these big men houses, big men and women, when you go like this, you will see this drug. Any drug they hear, say don't come out, that will make them to live long, that will make them not to be sick, that will make they will rush and buy it. I entered one house like this. Inside the house, inside the room, there is a safe that is inside that room. And millions, in fact, one side in dollars, another side in pounds, another side. I don't even see Naira there. I turn again. I saw drugs everywhere around. You see, you want to live long to enjoy that money. We here, amen. We have better drug. And that drug is to keep the commandments of the Lord. I am telling you, that is the secret. Obey the word of the Lord. In this Bible, there are things you will do for longevity, to stay long. In this Bible, there are things to do, to obey, to have wealth, to have health in this Bible, if you will follow it. So let me read it again. My son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't say you are brainy. Don't say you are sharp. Don't say you are connected. In all thy ways, verse 6, acknowledge him, acknowledge God, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you do that, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Amen. Chapter 4 and verse 18. What does it say? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the only reason why it shines is because you allow the word of God, which is the lamp unto our feet, to guide you all through this dark world. Every day, things will be getting better and better and better and better. That is the path of the just. And something about Satan, every true church must acknowledge that the enemy is out to destroy a generation. And he has started the assignment on that generation, and you are that generation. That's why when you select the team and it's a slogan for you that this generation will serve God, I say, I know by that you are trying to fight the plan of the enemy to make this generation not to serve God. This generation, we shall serve God. Hallelujah. And in serving God, amen, there are things we should know, there are things we should do. That is the safest thing for anybody to do on earth. You have a future. You have a future. Your life has not even begun yet. The stage of your life is the seed time. This stage that you are in now, that is the seed time. That is the time that your life is being planted for a future harvest. It's a planting season of your life history. Whatever you will be in future, it is this stage in life that will determine it. And that's why when we come together like this, we the elderly ones, we have something to share with you. So you either learn from our successes or learn from our failures. So that you either grow to become better than we are. Amen. Better, better than we are. Or you don't fail like we failed, depending on what we have been able to achieve in life. Praise the Lord. And because you have a bright future, there is the plan that the enemy must be having to destroy your destiny so that you remain useless. You will not fulfill your destiny. For he is Satan coming up to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his ministry. There is nothing Satan will allow you to do that is to build you up, is to benefit you in anything. It is nothing but to destroy something concerning you. Anytime God says, this is what you should do, there is always a condition. If you do this, you will have this. Satan does not want you to have it, so he will come with you with a better idea, so that you will not do it, so that you will do another thing else, and then be destroyed. For that is his ministry. And that is what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden and destroyed the whole future generations, including you and me. This is not what God proposed us to be. So we'll just look briefly at a topic I called destiny destroyers. Let's look at some of them. There are so many. We'll just look at some of them and hope that God will cause me to say something that somebody will hear and take life more seriously in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I started that day number one. I have them plenty here. In fact, I have 13 of them. And it's very short. There are too many. I just, as they were coming to my head, I was just putting it down. I have here about 13 of them. We'll try to compress them. I'm not giving a lecture. I am preaching. This is not an academic exercise. If you receive it, you practice it, it will benefit you. You reject it, and you leave this place, amen, it will not benefit you. And whatever I'm teaching you, it's not for me to benefit from, it is for your own good. That's nothing to do with me. My obligation is to do what I'm doing, and God will say, I have done my own, I will go and receive my reward, because I told you, I guided you, I told you the truth. And we look at the first one, we say lack of vision. That's the first one. And I spoke briefly in the first day. We looked at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. And what is a vision? I say a vision is a mental picture of something you want to achieve. Anybody that is in this atmosphere now, amen, and right away, you don't have something you have decided you will achieve in life by way of a career, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is a statement like a proverb that the people say. They say, the end justifies the means. He said, the end justifies the means. That is, maybe you want to achieve something. Then there is the means that you will use to achieve it. So, if the important thing is that you want to achieve. So, since you successfully achieve what you want to achieve, that justifies the means by which you use to achieve it. But I say no, the end does not always justify the means. Because some people get to the top by killing people. By killing somebody, you got to the top. So what you use that you reach the top will not justify the means that you use to get to the top. Praise the Lord. But I prefer rather that the means will justify the end. The means will justify the end so that when you get there, you can testify how you got there. And the only means that every one of us will achieve what we'll achieve is obeying, taking heed to instructions. Instruction of the Father. So listen, it is the means we're talking about. There is something you want to achieve. How many people have sat down and you have decided that this is what you want to achieve in life? How many? Don't put up your hand because people are putting up their hand. If you haven't, after today, you can start. You can start. I want to challenge you to start something. But if you have, you already have. Can I see your hand up? What you have decided to achieve? What you intend to achieve?
I intend to achieve favor from... I intend to achieve that I should help the people of Nigeria in health issues.
So you want to be a medical doctor?
Yes.
You want to be a medical doctor?
Yes.
Why do you choose to be a medical doctor?
So that I can help people to live longer.
It pains you when you see people die.
Yes.
So what are you doing to achieve that, to become a medical doctor?
I study and pray.
So, you know that if you want to be a medical doctor, you will not go and concentrate on history and economics.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
It means your attention will be in science-based courses.
Yes.
So, are you good in sciences?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's clap our hands now for you. Because it is your vision that determines how you start. It's your vision that determines your bearing. There are some people that you don't have any dream. So you don't have all, the only dream you have is, I want to pass. I want to pass WAEC. So you look, I want to pass WAEC. History easy now. English, as I speak English. And then literature, I did read now. Then this one, maths, lie. Maths, physics, kai. Chemistry, joy. No, this easy one. Uh-huh. So, I must get 5 credits. They don't reach 5. 1, English, literature, 2, 3, 4, 5 now. Now go enter university. 5. Now, such a person has no dream. All his concern is any job pass. So if you look at it, now five credits. Such people, they have no dream. If you ask him, what are you hoping to do? You say, no, that only worry me. Make I just come up for this school and be my own. You will never achieve anything. Praise the Lord. Who? How many people say they have an ambition? Let me ask you in front of the coordinator there. What's your dream?
I want to become a good chartered accountant.
A chartered accountant. So what are you doing to work towards that?
I'm always reading and praying, and a chartered accountant I know that works in the bank as a manager. They can't tell me more about going through the lines to be successful with it.
Amen. You see? Anyone that has a vision. Anyone that has a vision, their life is different. Those such people, amen. God bless you, be seated. And why their life is different? Listen very carefully. You have a vision, and what propels you to pursue that first is passion. You have that passion because there is a benefit you have seen in that area. And you want to get and enjoy that benefit. So it causes you to pursue that vision. And remember, even God himself says, he who seeks will find. Amen. Because it is only when you have that you have a prayer point. If there is no vision, how will you tell God, help me to fulfill this thing I am pursuing? Because you have nothing you are pursuing. So, for your vision to come to pass, to be fulfilled, number one, you need focus. Number two, you need planning. It is the planning that you begin to know which subjects you want to take as far as education is concerned. Praise God. Everyone here, education should be your foundation. And that is then knowing everything you know. Remember we read God say in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Always know that you cannot achieve anything without God's hand on it. Because once you decide to do anything as a child of destiny, Satan will come immediately to try to stop you from fulfilling that destiny. So it becomes prayer point. And your dream, your vision determines or it dictates your location and your associations, who you associate with, and who you, places that you go to, you visit, you find yourself, is determined by your vision. Will this person help me to fulfill my vision? It determines if I stay here Will I get what I'm looking for? That's why some people travel outside the country to change location. That's why some people change school. Some people change particular schools to attend. And your vision becomes so strong that you cannot be discouraged. So you don't give up. You don't give up. So number one, I say, is lack of vision that destroys destinies. Number two, laziness can destroy your destiny. We'll be reading some scriptures. Proverbs chapter 6. And remember, it is wisdom, so most of the scriptures are in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, from verse 6 up to verse 11. It says, go to the ant. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6 to verse 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, lazy man. Consider her ways and be wise. The ant, which having no guide, no overseer, no ruler, provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. When you should plan for your life, you are there sleeping. When you should read, you are watching film. It's a lazy spirit. When you should be home, somewhere, looking for resources, somewhere, a library, somewhere, gathering information, because the truth about it is this. Watch all the people that are on top in your class. They are first. They are this. They get award. They get this. There is something they do that all the school syllabus and all the subjects, the topics to be treated in every course is always given in advance. Every student has access to it. So one thing they do is they always want to go ahead of the lecturer. So before they treat any particular topic, they have already on their own studied it. So the lecturer, when it is time for that topic, is only coming to add more to what they already know. So they flow faster than you. So somebody that it means is doing double work. He's doing yesterday assignment that is given, and he's doing the one that has not even been treated in the class yet to balance up. While he's doing that, he has less time. He's too busy in that to go and join cult activities. Let me tell you, why do cult people come to initiate you? They don't come to everybody to be initiated. There is something they see in you. They say, Kai, this guy, Bill, I said he join us. He go join us. He has seen the way you act. You are rough. You are this. He said, yes. If this one can join us, that will be fine. But every time they see you with Bible, every time they see you with Bible, you are studying in your room. They are, your roommate, if it's a cult person, he will tell the others, Mother, don't mind this one. Now, Bible and his book. Bible and his book. You can't get him. He wants to discuss with you. You are not arrogant. You are not rude to the person. But they know who to choose. They will not come near you. Because you have no time for that. Amen. So hard work is what is expected of you. Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Reading from verse 10. Hallelujah. He said, if you don't eat, if you don't walk, you should not eat. He who does not walk should not eat. So don't hope to settle down. Don't hope to settle down. One of the reasons, you know, if you are lazy, one of the reasons that very foolish children, lazy about in the school, children of rich men, they are the dullest in the school. They are the daftest. They come to school with a lot of money. They come to school with cars. Because their parents are rich. So they believe that they don't need to work hard again. After all, there are things for them to inherit. And so, foolish you now, you'll be joining those people. Your papa, he not get keke. Your papa, now you serve, he depend on. You are his only investment in life. He's hoping that you will come back and what he did not achieve, you will achieve. Then you reach school, finish. You come, your eye, they go for the things that, you know, it's no stupidity. Even there is a scientific language that says water find its level. How will your level be a rich man? You're going to follow. And what did the follow do? They carry him back. They send you up and down. Then before you know what, he will initiate you into the drug they take, into the smoke they smoke, into other useless life they live. But even you, that your father is rich, that refused to go to school. I know of a friend of mine. I reminded him this a few days ago when we were talking on the phone. I said, I use your example to tell the children in my church how stupid children can be. Because the father is wealthy. And the first son refused to study. All others is junior. They are all in the university. They are all graduate and everything. But this one, they carry him to school in London. He returned. He said, he don't want again. To the best school in Nigeria, he come out. So this one, come out. They carry him to a Christian school. They catch and they smoke cigarette. And each time they come out, he will start all over. When they remove him, he will go and start all over. And the age is going and everything. And then his friend told me, he said, why is this boy behaving like this now? He told me, he said, don't mind him. Because he thinks he's the first son. He said, he doesn't know that. Praise the Lord.